this scripture together. Let's all stand, please. We'll read together. Consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith
some of you have been around for a long time. So we're glad to have all of you here today with us. Question. You have any trials and tribulations? Every day. That's an easy question. Easy answer. Yes. You do have trials and tribulations. Jesus even tells us that the rain is going to fall on the just and the unjust alike. So it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or a non-Christian, you're going to have time for tribulation. And I can guarantee you that no matter how long you've been on this earth, if you've been on this earth any length of time at all, you've had some trial and some tribulation. You've been off your job. You don't know when the next job is going to come. You lost the job because the factory or the plant or whatever it is closed down and you don't have work. You don't have anything. And you're in a situation where you just can't find anything. Folks, that's a trial. One of the most difficult trials that people face today. It's when there is a loved one. Those are difficult. And I want you to know that your faith is being tested each and every time that happens. Each and every time. Because you have faith in the eternity of God. You have hope in the resurrection. You have the knowledge that Jesus died for us so that we can be with him in eternity. And all of the aspects of the important messages out there, we as Christians have hope even in times of trial. And folks, you might be going through something right now. You might be ill. You might be suffering. You might have lost someone along the way. You might be searching. If you're searching, I want you to know you found it. Remember that one with the devil? She was searching. She truly was. She had five husbands, and the one that she was living with was not her husband. Now, if he's not searching, I don't know what it is. But she was searching. She was looking. She spoke to Jesus, and when she left Jesus, she went into her community, and basically said those words, I think I have found the Messiah, come and see. And guess what? She found him. And the people came. The people came to see. And so, when we start thinking about our trials and our tribulation, first thing I want you to realize is this. Our trials and tribulation are nothing but everything all toward Jesus Christ. Satan did everything that he possibly can do to stop Jesus from going to the cross. He tempted him in every way that we are tempted, yet Jesus was without sin. Satan tried for Daniel not to go to the cross. Satan tried to make it as bad for him as he possibly could so that he would stop him at any time. Because Satan knew that Jesus had the power to call down 12 legions of angels and end it right there. End it. But Jesus didn't do it. Why? Because his purpose was to let God's will be done, not his. And in all of our prayers, we should say the same thing. Not my will, but let your will be done. Because we know what God's will is. God's will is for us, all of us, everywhere, to be with him in eternity. And so from that point, we can stand up and we can say, yes, I am God's will to be done. We will face trials and tribulation. God is actually working with you to accomplish his will. With that in the red letter, our trials and tribulation are happening, and God is working in you to accomplish his will. That means he is perfecting you to the point of his will is accomplished in you. But I also want you to realize something else. When you have trial and tribulation, he is watching you to see how you react. Every person you come in contact with, they're watching to see how you respond. So not only is God working in you to perfect you, but God is working through you so that others will see how you act and how you respond and then give them encouragement to work on the way for God. That's trial and tribulation. Realize, God is working in us. Now, what I want you to see in Isaiah 6:8. Here is one of those things that I absolutely love, and I wish everybody would do exactly this way. God is asking, who shall I send? Who will be my spokesperson? Who will go out in the world and help me spread the gospel? Who should it be? And Isaiah responds and he says this, here am I, send me. You know the song, football and coach? I'm not a guy, send a friend. Folks, that's how it is. I'm ready to go. Whatever you need me, Lord, send me. Whatever you need me, Lord, show me the way. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, just tell me and I will do it. This is the way we should all do at all times. But remember, there were people that came up to Jesus and told Jesus, we will follow you, but first let me do this. First, let me go look at some land that I just purchased. First, I just made a laugh. You don't take care of it. No. Even if you came down to the land that was in here, then Jesus comes and let the rock by the bed come now. See me. I am a boat. You can't say, God, say, I am a boat. I want this instead. That's not how it works. Here I am, Lord, send me. Because, folks, the gospel is spread through you. Do you know that? It's not your preacher. Yes, your preacher spreads the gospel. it's the gospel.
Before. But with all your actions and how you
respond to trial and tribulation. The gospel is proclaimed for those who are outside of Christ, who see you and respond to you. We are people who are sick, who are ill, who are struggling. You listen to the word. That's what I'm doing. The gospel is proclaimed. Your actions. You see it. You see how you respond to others. And because of that, global progress of the gospel is done. People say, what? And if you don't want to live in my room, it is literally on his deathbed. He died on that bed. He knew he was about to die. He was of age, and he knew that his time was up. And I never forget how he responded to that. And folks, when it happened, I was a young preacher. And he said, brought back, he says, I'm not worried about this. This doesn't bother me at all. He said, because I know where I'm going. Folks, I'm going to tell you right there, I'll never forget him. I'll never forget what he did. I'll never forget what he said, because his faith was so great. He didn't worry about that at all. He's ready to go. And that proclaimed the gospel not only to those nurses and doctors that were ministering to him, but to me as a new preacher. Realize how great a faith he had. Second, I want you to know that the world is watching. The world watches how you react. The world watches how you act to somebody. I never forget one time I was driving down to the lake, which I love to go to the lake. And I was following one of my students from Canyon Line High School. He didn't know that I was behind him. But I was following him. And he was a little boy, about this tall. And I want you to know, he was He was born 14. And I was following. And I thought I was following because I was behind him. And I'm following right behind him. And just as he gets to his house and he starts to turn, he shows me that I'm number one. And so I couldn't let that slide. That's not real slide. But he didn't realize that. So the next night at school, which was Monday at school, I called him into my office. And I said, hey, I said, what are you doing? Okay. Country. What are you trying to tell me? or no, the world watches everything you do. Yes or no, that you are a Christian by what you do. They know that you are a Christian by your actions. And because they know that you are a Christian by your actions, they are watching how you react to every situation in your life. How do you react to that? How do you respond to that? First, by them watching what you are doing, you are also proclaiming Jesus Christ and Him crucified to the world. By how you treat other people. Does that make sense to anybody? It should. Because how you treat other people is how they view a Christian. Philippians 1:14 tells us something else. Those individuals who are already speaking the word of God. Those individuals that are out there working to raise awareness of the gift that comes through Jesus Christ. And the salvation that you can obtain. Those individuals also see how you react. And when you come, even when you are very ill, when you are unable to get along, when things are rough and difficult for you, when you come even at those times, you know what you do? You encourage me. One of the kids has been up in the hospital this week. I've been up to see him several times, and he's really been struggling. He's not in there because he's not feeling good this morning. But he's not going to tell everybody how much he loves this congregation. He's not going to tell everybody thank you for all the prayers that you've given. That's when he comes in this door. Right here, one of the things he likes to do is go around in that wheelchair and check on his hand. This is an inspiration to me. Those who preach the gospel, they should be an inspiration to you when I see individuals who are struggling for whatever reason, who have health issues, concerns, whatever it may be. And they're still here. They're still here because they love God. And that love shows through. And you know what else? It shows through to me. You're being here is an inspiration to me. And I thank you for it. But you're praying that you may be suffering. I know that all of us have issues. But I also know that you picked me up. And because you picked me up, I can go. I thank you all for that. James chapter 1, verse 4 tells us this. We, I'm not talking about all of us, are perfected because of trial and tribulation. All of us are. That's those individuals who are in the world who see how you react. That's those individuals who are of the body of Christ who also see how you react and you inspire us to act better. Because with each trial and tribulation, your faith grows. Understand, God is working for you. God destruction. He's working through those things to perfect you, to perfect me, to perfect the world. Because it is God's purpose that man should perish. But I have everlasting life. So I will see trial and tribulation. Realize that just as the suffering of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. If you start thinking, yes, I'm going through some hard times, yes, things are what I would like them to be. But God is using that to glorify Himself through me, through you, and through the entire world. God is always there for us. Let us strive to be there for God. That's why we can find joy in times of trial. We can find joy in tribulation. Because we know God is there to help us through it. If at this time you are in need of anything, if you are in need of our prayer, we want to be able to lift up your name in prayer to heaven. So that we can call on the power of the universe to take care of whatever trial, whatever tribulation you may be suffering at this time. But also, if you have not yet put on Jesus Christ in baptism, if you have not confessed that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, the Messiah, if you have not yet repented of your sins, then now's the time to do that. To put on Jesus Christ in baptism so that you may have this hope. So that you may know that God works through you even during trial and tribulation. And all those things will be taken care of as long as you hold fast to the love of God through Jesus Christ. God, we need this morning. Come. Not together, we stand.